This is our weekly chance for you to vent your spleen politely on a couple of topics in the news. This week's topics, political spending and defacing public property outdoors. You can probably guess where these are heading. And you can line up to join the conversation at 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760, or email comments to jx@jeffnet.org. Let's start off with political spending. We are 6 days away from Election Day, in an election that appears to be generating a lot of apathy nationally, but a lot of campaign spending just the same. One estimate figures $4 billion, with a B, dollars will be spent on these midterm elections. Republicans are fighting for control of the U.S. Senate and a bunch of state-level races. Democrats are defending their numerical superiority in the Senate and trying to pick up governorships and state legislatures. We have heard plenty of opinions about money and politics, usually as part of a different discussion, but today it is the discussion topic. So the questions, if you are troubled by the amount of money in politics, pre- or post-Citizens United decision, how would you propose changing the system, especially with the current Supreme Court? And then back up a step. Are you, in fact, troubled by the amount of money in political campaigns? Or maybe you run a TV station and you think it's just great because you make so much money in even-numbered years. Join us on Vents Day, 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Topic two concerns the recent defacing of rocks and landscapes in national parks and other public outdoor places. A young woman using the Instagram name Creepy Tings posted pictures of her artwork, some of it acrylic, on rocks overlooking scenic areas, even Crater Lake, and the wrath of the general public came down swiftly. There are those people who find art in urban areas, tagging, urban graffiti, okay, but Creepy Ting's real name, Casey Knockett, found little of that support. Remember, she's not the only one by a long shot, so what is the appropriate penalty for someone defacing public lands, like, for example, the guys who knocked over that stone in a national monument in Utah last year? Given the vast areas and the limited staff at the Park Service, the Forest Service, etc., how do you prevent vandalism outdoors in public places? This week's topics, well, a big one, certainly political spending, as we are now 6 days away from Election Day. Ballots are coming back in Oregon. I understand about 20% returns so far. California voters, most of them still go to the polls, although a number do vote by permanent absentee status. So decisions being made, but money being spent out the yin-yang, as some people might put the expression. And there is a common concern expressed when we talk about political matters on Vents Day about the money in politics. And so let's just make that the central discussion topic today. If you are concerned about money in politics, what do we do about money in politics? That is one topic. The other topic is about the recent defacing of public land by the woman who went by Creepy Tings on Instagram, Casey Knockett by name. And what you think about the artwork she placed out there in public areas, graffiti, some might call it. She's not the only person who defaces public areas by any stretch of the imagination. So the overall question is, what do we do about it? How can you defend against it? How can you clean it up? And what are the appropriate penalties for people who do deface public lands? Again, 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760, and our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. I did promise you a little further fleshing out of the information about our fund drive just completed. We wrapped up our fund drive last night at 8 o'clock, and it was fun to sit here and watch as we approached that $190,000 goal, which we made and then exceeded by a little bit. So $191,500 approximately came in, almost 400 new members, so a little short on that goal, but the computer's stuck at the moment, and I can't give you the exact dollar figure, but it was a success. This is a fund drive that worked. And it worked because the people who listen to public radio are good about supporting public radio, especially where we live in the state of Jefferson. So thank you so much for, as always, supporting Jefferson Public Radio. Now, back to our Vents Day topics. Jacob got in here first. He emails that the only things that you should take and leave in a national park, take photos, leave footprints. Short, sweet, to the point. Let's go to Bill and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day. We're talking about national park defacing and about political spending.
Oh, yeah, this is about political spending. The two things that's killing this democracy is a two-party system and the money they're spending. We're prostitutes to the two things. My suggestion is the Supreme Court now says freedom of speech. You can spend as much money as you want as a campaign, from what I understand. Well, let's just modify the free speech where it does not include any advertising on billboards, TVs, newspapers, radios, or the Internet. The only advertising you can use is to pay for yard signs and pamphlets. You go door to door. But the freedom of speech to spend as much money as you want to is you pay for a debate. And you have to include at least three people, three different candidates or parties, So we get away from the two-party system, and if there's more than three that want to come into it, then you can take up to five, and if there's more, and if there's more than that, it would be strictly a lottery. So the guy pays for it, and he might not even get the one big party he wants to debate. And that would just make the system completely equal, and the people campaign, and also change it that an incumbent party, like a president of the United States, can't go anywhere to campaign for anybody, because he should get, you know, he should do his job. No incumbents can campaign. They have to just do their job and get voted in by what they did, by how good they were, and don't go out and campaign for somebody.
Would that include things like not going to presidential debates, stuff like that?
Well, he could go to a presidential debate, you know. Yeah, for sure, he can go to the presidential debate. But, I mean, he can't go fly across the country to get some senator elected, or he can't go to some, just go to a big Harvard University at a football game and say his speech.
Even if he pays for it himself, though? I mean, if it's not taxpayer
money? Not for himself. No, he can't campaign for himself or anybody once he's president.
All right. Interesting set of restrictions. Thanks for that, Bill. Appreciate it. Let's go to John and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day. We're talking about campaign funding and defacing public lands.
Hey.
Hi.
A few minutes ago, were trying to provoke responses, getting us thinking about the topics, and you. One of the questions you asked was, how do we keep people from defacing public land, and I can't resist. I think we need to develop a different atmosphere, and we're far from it now. We need to prosecute the powerful people in our society who commit the worst crimes, like President Bush and his cadre who took us to war on lies, or the financial industry people who have enriched themselves, and unlike the savings and loan debacle during the, wasn't it, the Reagan era, where there were hundreds of bankers sent to prison, not one has been sent to prison. And we can't run a society where the rich and powerful are above the law. It develops an attitude that affects all of us, and even to the point of defacing public land. You know, if there's no consequences to our actions, then why should we behave beyond some kind of tribalistic, self-aggrandizing kind of behavior.
Interesting. So it becomes an every person for him or herself situation, you're thinking.
We sure see this. And it's so dismaying because, I mean, I'm not one of these jingoists, you know, USA, USA, but I've always been struck by all the wonderful potential here and all of the intelligent people and all of the possibility, and we fritter it away, and terrible mistakes. I voted for Obama twice, and I'm not sorry, but he, part of it is I sit around like a pre-adolescent waiting to be rescued by the people we elect, and they've gone away from where we need to be. We need to have prosecuted the international war crimes that were committed during the Bush administration, and we certainly needed to and still need to put hundreds of bankers in jail. They're primed to do it to us again.
All right, so if people with money and power are put before the public as potential criminals and are tried for their crimes, then perhaps it might result in better behavior among the rest of us. John and Eugene, thanks so much for that. Appreciate it. This is Vince Day on the Jefferson Exchange. We're gathering opinions from you about a couple of topics in the news. Today's topics are campaign cash and public land vandalism. A couple of hot topics in the news of late. Certainly 6 days away from the election, lots of talk about campaign cash. And the vandalism story comes from the woman who spent a good bit of the summer, it looks like, visiting national parks and pristine public sites around the West, and made artwork, in some cases with acrylic on those. You can call it art, you can call it vandalism, whatever you choose to call it. Let's talk about how we can stop those sorts of things from happening. Join us on the Exchange, 800-838-3760. That's anywhere in the listening area. One phone number, all six lines, 800-838-3760, or jx@jeffnet.org. And let me encourage people who've never called Vince Day before to call in. You know, obviously, we're going to get a soft response, and nobody's going to attack you for any of the things that you come up with here on the Exchange. So please feel free. If you've been listening for a long time and thought, well, there's usually the usual people who call, well, become one of the people who call. 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Joe in Talent sends an email about the campaign cash issue. Joe brings up 2 points. He says, first, if the press would stop pushing the point that because this is a midterm, turnout will be low, maybe it wouldn't be a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you continue to express to your kids low expectations, they will perform to that level. Maybe we should find a better way of discussing the issue. Second, anyone who thinks money in politics, especially elections, is a good thing or not a problem, needs some professional attention. It's so obvious it's harmful, and not to beat up on the press, where is most of that campaign money spent? Ad buys in the media. If they were not the principal benefactors of the glut of money, I think we would have the kind of discussions we have on NPR and here on the Jefferson Exchange that expose the problem without fear of losing revenue. So Joe and Talent bringing up a couple of points about campaign funding. What are your thoughts about this? 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Let me go to the 2 points that Joe picked out because I do want to give a little back and forth on this. I'm not sure that is just the media saying that the turnout will be low that makes the turnout low. The general interest in an election that does not include a presidential election tends to be a lot lower. Is that because there's less hype, because the national media don't have a central figure or a pair of figures to revolve around? That's arguable. But people don't get as interested in it. And it raises the question again about, do we think in terms of a king? We always talk about, like, this happened during this presidency. FDR did this and Reagan did that. And presidents don't do things all by themselves. Congress has to get in there at some point. So maybe we just think in terms of too much about a central figure. And that's why we don't get that interested in the elections that don't involve electing that central figure. And ad buys in the media, right on target. I worked in commercial broadcasting for the better part of my career, and I watched as even-numbered years were great windfalls for TV stations because that's when you would pull in money from people running for office and people trying to get issues passed on the ballot. And it's a big glut of money in the even-numbered years and a real low year in the off years, the odd-numbered years. So, yes, there is a lot of money involved, certainly. Does that mean that they're going to cover things differently? The sales departments and the news departments do tend to be insulated from one another, but there is an overall climate coming from management. That much you can be sure of. Join us on this Vents Day as we talk about campaign cash and public land vandalism. 800-838-3760, jx@jeffnet.org. Here is Jeff in Roseburg. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Yeah, it was that last caller said something that I've been thinking of is that, you know, the president, you know, Republican or Democrat, shouldn't be out campaigning for, you know, candidates or whatever. You know, it's millions and millions of dollars for him to fly across the country to campaign for somebody. He's supposed to be the president of all the people. And, you know, he should be sitting in Washington, D.C. doing his job and not, you know, spending so much money trying to help out individuals.
Try to be less of a political figure in a year where there is not about an election for his office.
He's, you know, he's supposed to be the president of all the people. You know, you don't sit up there and they really, you know, are trying to destroy the Tea Party and the Republican Party. And, you know, that like Elizabeth Warren has just been vindictive about Republicans, and Peter DeFazio is just hateful about the Tea Party people. And but the president shouldn't be able to go fly back and forth across the country just campaigning when there's so much on his table, you know, to be working on.
Okay, so rise above that and stay busy with the work at hand and not get out on the campaign trail. Thanks for that, Jeff. Appreciate it. Let's go to Eileen in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day, campaign cash and public land vandalism, our issues. Eileen, go ahead.
Hi. Yes, I'm thinking that the only solution to the money in politics is publicly funded elections. And I believe that the media should be donating time. The airwaves do belong to us for debates. money does seem to be speech when it comes in our mailbox and on the radio and through the TV screen. So we need publicly funded elections.
All right. Thanks for that. And not the first person to say that in this context. Thanks for that, Eileen. Let's go to Mark in Reading. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Good morning. On vandalization of public lands, anyone who gets caught doing it should be forced to pay restitution for the reconstruction of whatever destruction they've done.
Mm-hmm.
And also, they should be forced to do community service in the public lands that they vandalized, whatever number of hours is necessary, I don't know.
All right, so pay for the cleanup and put in community service time.
And there's one place that one should not leave footprints when traveling. In the Oregon Painted Desert, I was there one time, and some jerk had walked across the top of one of the banks and left his footprints there for all to see. That's one place nobody should leave footprints.
All right,
we have signs asking people to have the decency not to.
Yeah, when the sign says stay on the trail, leave the footprints there and not outside the trail.
Yeah, of course, there are always people that think that they know better than everyone else. You know, it's like the people whose dogs don't need to be leashed, even though they have signs saying, leash your dog.
Right. Okay, a couple of good ideas there. Thanks for that, Mark. Appreciate it. And if you're curious, too, there's a lot said on it. Just if you go to Google and type in creepy things without the H, it's not creepy things, creepy things and art, you'll see a number of different opinions. And, in fact, it was Modern Hiker, the website and magazine, that really put this out in front of the media in the first place, because they got a hold of the Instagram images showing things like the acrylic picture that was painted on a rock overlooking Crater Lake. And it's just a gorgeous view of Crater Lake. And then there's this rather amateurish, and this is only, you know, obviously art is, you know, it's what the beholder sees. And it's an acrylic painting overlooking Crater Lake. And there's some interesting traffic back and forth on Instagram and Twitter, I think, as well about this, where somebody said, is that chalk? In a response, and the response from Creepy Things was, no, it's acrylic. I know, I'm a bad person. So interesting the way that people talk to each other and the way that this gets communicated to the world in the first place. And, you know, I still have yet to hear from Casey Knockett or Creepy Things what the point was. Really, I mean, there are some pictures of her where she's using a Sharpie to make some artwork, if you want to call it that, on the side of a rock in another public place. It was on the Mist Trail in Yosemite, among other places. But, you know, got to a number of places in the West, national parks, places that people regard very highly, and it felt like she had to put her own artistic stamp on those. And what's the appropriate response? How do we stop people from doing this? It's not new. If you go to the Oregon Caves, for example, you can see all these things that people wrote in pencil on some of the calcite formations, and they look like they were just done yesterday. And in fact, even though people say on the tours, don't touch anything in the Oregon Caves because, you know, human skin oils and things can affect the what happens in the caves. At one point, I just couldn't stop myself from reaching out and thinking, is that really fresh pencil? And immediately somebody said, hey, don't touch that. And I realized, no, I mean, this is stuff that's been there for decades, more than 100 years in some cases. But that's what happens. As you deface public lands, you're probably going to keep it defacing there for a very long time. Your thoughts on what to do and your thoughts about campaign cash, welcome on this Vince Day. 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Dennis in Roseburg. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Did you mean Dennis and Eugene?
It says Dennis and Roseburg, but yeah, I'll take Dennis and Eugene. Any okay. flavor Dennis I get, I will talk to right now.
All right. Say, I wanted to talk about the campaign money, but I want to say something about the public lands.
Mm-hmm.
So would all the primitive cultures who put cave paintings and carved their animal symbols and all that stuff, would they be considered graffiti artists now, and would we be putting them in jail? That's my question.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of just something to think about. But the campaign financing thing, you know, if you look at the history of our country has always been ran by rich guys. It was all put together by a bunch of rich guys who wanted to keep their money and quit giving it to the king. And I think our system in America is alive and well, that the rich get richer and the rest of us, you know, kind of just bump along the best we can. So as far as changing it, I don't know how you would do it, because all the people that are in charge of everything, including the Supreme Court, are all rich guys, and they're not going to vote against their best self-interest. That's why they got rich and powerful, is so that they could control things. And so, there you go.
All right. That sounds a little grim, but thanks for that, Dennis. Appreciate it. Let's go to Lee in Ashland. Actually, let me pause for just a moment here, because one of the things that that we have that people who painted on the walls of caves did not have is paper and canvas and other ways in which to do artwork that doesn't involve having it last permanently on public places. Now let's go to Lee and Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Yeah, I want to talk about just money in a different way. You know, when we got rid of the fairness doctrine and we allowed rich companies like Clear Channel to start buying up the airwaves, I don't know how many people are aware. There used to be a progressive radio station in the Bay Area. It was bought up by Clear Channel or one of its clones and turned into a sports station. The same thing happened in Portland. The same thing happened in Seattle. Aside from NPR, which is one of the reasons that I donate, where else can you hear anything but the Republican view on everything, including that the president is, you know, the big Satan? I know that there was that guy saying that, you know, DeFazio did this. I have never heard the Republicans say anything good about our president. That's all I had to say. Thank you,
all right. Thanks for that, and Lee, appreciate that. A couple things going on here. Number one, the fairness doctrine is gone, and that did require a sense of balance within a certain radio station. Now that you don't need that, obviously, that's why you have right-wing talk radio exclusively 24 hours a day on some stations. And then, of course, there was the deregulation of the broadcasting industry. When I got into the broadcasting industry, you could own 7 TV stations, 7 AM radio stations, and 7 FM radio stations. Now it's just a percentage of the country. And last I saw, Clear Channel had somewhere around 800 radio stations across the country. Pam and Dexter, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day. We're talking about campaign spending and public land vandalism. Pam, you there? Pam and Dexter? Well, that was unusual. Let's go to Jamie in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Morning, Jeffrey.
Hi.
Thank you for my opportunity to vent on a particular subject. I'm going to keep it brief since we're running short on time. I would like to focus on the topic of graffiti.
All right.
I don't think that anybody has the right, now, I don't care if you go back to the Stone Age or whatever, nobody has the right to deface somebody else's property at the expense of thinking that they're creating fine art. There are some things going on around, like, say, in the United Kingdom, where people are defacing public buildings and stuff like that, and they're going to the extent of breaking those things off of the building on which they were because they consider it art. I don't think it's art. Somebody should get their own canvas, keep their canvas to themselves, and then spare the rest of us until we decide if it's art or not. And that's all I had to say.
All right. Thanks for that, Jamie. Appreciate it. One of the things that Casey Knockett, referred to was that in her posts as creepy things was saying, hey, if this was done in an urban area and Banksy, for example, did it, you'd have no particular problem with that. She used somewhat stronger language. Todd in Ashland sent an email in about John and Eugene's comments about campaign spending and says he hit the nail on the head, in my opinion. Just wish I was as articulate as him. I've been wanting to say that for a long time. And then a final email here from Jay, not sure what town he's from. He said, this is about the money, the political money. He says, the transfer of the P.T. Barnum circus aspect of politics, it is popularity and sway by adverts, not populist community opinion. Well, a lot of opinions, obviously, about campaign spending and what to do about it. And a sense I get from what we've heard here today that, gee, there's not much we can do given who's in power right now. Now, let's switch from money in politics to money in public radio. The final total is $191,691. The original goal was $190,000. So we exceeded that by almost $1,700. And when I say we, I mean you. It is really an honor and a pleasure to work with an audience as smart, as good, and as beneficent as this one. Thank you from the bottom of all our hearts at JPR.